Well, I guess we can still say Merry Christmas, even though we're a couple days past. But I do hope everyone did have a Merry Christmas. I want to know who in here got everything that they wanted for Christmas. Raise your hand. You got everything you wanted. Wow. Wow. Who in here really feels like they were left hanging? Like I was had some expectations that were truly unmet. How many of you have already repackaged some gifts that will be regifted? Or maybe you've already regifted it. Maybe you got it Sunday morning like, this would be great. You know, I didn't get a chance to get them a gift and it was already packaged and brought over to someone's house in the evening. Any regifters in here? You pansies, raise your hand. Who did it? There we go. Exactly. You know what? It's interesting with Christmas. A lot of times where we feel like we get frustrated is because we have expectations that weren't met. You know, we're expecting something to be under the tree. We're expecting somebody to respond a certain way to the gift we got them or to respond a certain way to us. And sometimes it doesn't happen. And a lot of times, just like in gift giving and receiving, sometimes we feel left out. We feel left hanging. We feel something's missing. And how many of you have something in your life, talking about being left hanging, you have something in your life that you wish was different? Something that could be as simple as, hey, I, you know, wish this part of, you know, my appearance was different. Or there are some painful things that you're in the midst of. Maybe some relationships you're struggling with. Maybe a job, finances. I mean, again, we hear it. I don't have to, you know, just hit this, belabor this again, but, you know, we hear it nonstop about the economic times and we're in a depression and it's the sky is falling and it's so bad and how are we ever going to make it? We hear all this stuff and a lot of times we buy into it immediately. A lot of times we buy into it, you know, quickly and we should kind of hold back and really follow, you know, just take some patience and let things kind of develop and come together and a lot of times unravel right before our very eyes. And we have to be careful that we don't have like a knee-jerk reaction to things. But a lot of times in life, we're going through with these expectations that get unmet. And a lot of times as a result of that, there's frustration. And we've been talking about, with this series, this He Will Be Called, we've been talking about the names that were prophesied about this baby that was born in the manger. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah writes down in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he writes down this prophecy about the soon, who as it's being communicated, this soon and coming king, and yet he didn't come till 700 years later. And in the midst of this tumultuous time, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear was at the time when Isaiah was writing this. You know, we could almost say that we're kind of in a very similar situation. So this prophecy was quite timely. Unfortunately, it wasn't fulfilled for 700 years. And yet what he says here, the prophecy in and of itself, even though it wasn't fulfilled, the prophecy brought hope. The prophecy brought life. And the prophecy is this, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And then today we pick up with Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Jesus is this prince that was to bring a peace that passes all understanding. Now, growing up, I grew up in the Methodist church, a very small Methodist church in a very small town in Pennsylvania. And there was a tradition that we had in this church, and it was every Christmas Eve. I don't know if there was two services or just one, but I remember it being late in the evening, usually around 10 o'clock, we would have a Christmas Eve service, and we'd all load up in the car and we'd go to church. And I just remember being in that setting and singing the Christmas carols or the Christmas hymns and singing these songs about peace, and it's, you know, the lighting's different, and there's all the flowers around. Out, the poinsettias and the candles, and we'd have this candlelight communion service. And I just remember sitting there just feeling good, feeling at peace, feeling like, you know what, life's okay. And of course, I had this expectancy, you know, only a couple hours, you know, and it's present time. You know, it was a good feeling. There was this sense like life is working. And, you know, somehow over time, things begin to change. this Prince of Peace that Isaiah is talking about and prophesying about. You know, it's interesting, Jesus being the Prince of Peace, and yet a lot of times we don't experience peace. If we were to just stop for a moment and just even do a kind of a personal inventory, there'd probably be a lot of things in our life that definitely would not come under the definition of peace. I want us to look here in another passage, Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, after this great announcement, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth. And say this with me, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Peace to men. There is an expectation that Jesus was going to bring peace. There's an expectation that life was going to be drastically different as a result of the Savior's birth. So 700 years after the prophecy in Isaiah, we see this angel step forth out of the sky and begin to proclaim, he's born. Here's where you're going to find him. This is the situation. And he is going to bring peace to men. You know, it's interesting. There's not a whole lot of peaceful situations that we're in. You know, here's Mary. I want to take a look at Mary. This prophecy happens, and we're close to the fulfillment of the prophecy. The angel's announcing this. Now, I'll just have a question. Does this sound like peace? 16-year-old girl, pregnant, not quite married yet, and has basically just told her husband-to-be that God got me pregnant. I'm pregnant by God. So here's a 16-year-old girl. We're talking about the Prince of Peace coming. Don't be afraid. He's coming. So here's the Virgin Mary, a teenager, 9 months pregnant now, 9 months into this thing, or just about 9 months, and there's an announcement made that you've got to go back to your hometown for a census that they can count everybody and to be taxed. Okay, any ladies here have been pregnant before? Raise your hand. All the ladies have been pregnant. Okay, imagine you're almost full term. And you get to take a road trip, and not just any road trip on a donkey. Almost, again, does this sound like the Prince of Peace? This sounds more like a trial. No place to sleep. You finally get, after the road trip on the donkey, almost 9 months pregnant, you finally get to the town where you're to be at, and you're looking for a hotel, and there aren't any. And all of a sudden, your water breaks, and labor's beginning, and you have no room. No place to go. Somebody offers you a stall in their barn. Sound like peace? Not yet. And so here's the setting. I mean, this is again, this announcement, this prophecy. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You're giving birth in a barn. There is no epidural at all. And you know, epidural could be very good at this moment, yet there is none. We're in this, again, in a barn giving birth. And finally, after it's all said and done, you hear through the grapevine that King Herod is stressing because he's heard from the Magi, the wise men, that there's going to be a king that's going to be coming. And so Herod's now all in fear that his throne is going to be taken over. So he makes an announcement. We've got to find this one that the prophecy is speaking of, and we have to kill this baby. And since it's going to be difficult to find the needle in the haystack, just any male child under 2 years old, find them and murder the babies. Does this sound like peace? Soon after Jesus is born and the wise men come bearing their gifts after it could be even close to 2 years after Jesus is born, the wise men find them because Joseph was warned in a dream to head on out, run and hide because Herod's coming after you. Newborn baby, now you're on another road trip, hiding out. This does not sound like the Prince of Peace. Where is the Prince of Peace? I know there's times, you know, I'm looking at life and looking at circumstance. I'm thinking, where, Jesus, where, you're the Prince of Peace. This does not feel like peace. You know, we live in a day and age, again, a lot of anxiety. You know, we're Christian marriages are ending in divorce just as fast as non-Christian marriages, or faster, some studies show. Financially struggling, making more money than you've ever made in your life, and you're still not able to make ends meet. We don't need a show of hands on this one. It doesn't sound like peace. Relational tension. You can drive, you know, over the holidays. Some of you may have experienced this. I know someone else that did. You're driving to the mall to go buy these presents and gifts, and for some reason, people are waving you in a very odd way. You might have pulled in the parking lot that they wanted, or parking space they wanted, something. There's tension happening. There's frustration happening. And where's the Prince of Peace? Again, news. Saw news that, you know, this what's going on in the Gaza Strip with the bombings. Over 245 people are dead. Where's the Prince of Peace? This morning, I want to define peace for us, if I can do that. Because a lot of times we look at life circumstances that don't seem like peace, and so we think that the Prince of Peace has not come. Or he's not on guard. He's left his watch. He's whatever. He's not paying attention, or he doesn't care of what's going on. And I think a lot of it has to do with, again, unrealistic expectations or unmet expectations. And so let's define the Prince of Peace, because peace removes anxiety. In this passage in Isaiah, he says that he'll be the Prince of Peace. Prince is the word Sar, S-A-R, and it means the one in charge, the captain, chief, general, or the Lord. So this prince, this czar, this is where the word Caesar or czar comes from. This king or this overseer, this lord. This is in the Romans used this term when they would define their leaders against Caesar. So here's Jesus being defined as the leader, the prince, or the czar, and then peace is shalom. Of course, we are sure we all knew that. And it means rest, also means wholeness, tranquility, contentment, or completeness. So the prophecy is saying that the Sar Shalom, this Sar Shalom, this captain, the one in charge, the general of wholeness, the captain of tranquility, he'll bring completeness and contentment, a captain of rest, peace, chief of wholeness. I know when I hear some of these names, these phrases, you know, it's kind of like you just sit back and you're just kind of thinking. You know, trying to take that deep breath. He is the captain of rest. He's the Lord of contentment. The Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom. The question here is that, does it mean, if this is what he is in our life, if this is what he's to bring, if he's the Prince of Peace, the captain of rest, and all of this is what he's prophesying, or what was prophesied about him, and here he is, does it mean that we can, you know, here before I get into that, picture this. We're talking about needing, not having peace and not having rest. And a lot of times it's because we're not under the Prince of Peace. We haven't yielded ourselves or given ourselves. We haven't given our life to the Tsar Shalom. We haven't surrendered ourselves to him. And so we're wanting peace in the midst of the storm, and yet we're not under the captain of rest. We haven't surrendered ourselves to him. We're not under his authority. We're not under his protection. We're not under his hand, because we haven't given him our life. And so here we are, we're seeing that he's to be the Prince of Peace. Well, how come Jesus isn't bringing peace? How come there's not peace in my life? It could possibly be that you have not surrendered yourself to the Prince of Peace. You haven't brought yourself under him yet. And so here's the Prince of Peace. Here's the place where he's residing, where his presence is, and you can kind of take hold and receive from him and live out that peace, have that peace in your life, that peace that passes all understanding. But you have to get under it. You have to surrender to him. A lot of times we find ourselves out here, out from under it, wanting to know where the peace is. And because he's the Prince of Peace, and maybe we found ourselves under him, we've made that decision that I'm going to live my life for him. I'm going to surrender him. So surrender to him. So I'm under now. I'm under the Prince of Peace. I'm under this Tsar Shalom, this captain of rest, the Lord of wholeness and completeness and contentment. I've surrendered myself to him. I've experienced that peace. And then all of a sudden, it seems like the peace has lifted. Where the peace was before, where the peace was flowing, where I felt what it was like to have my sins forgiven, where I felt what it was like to have confidence with my Savior, and all of a sudden I don't have that confidence anymore. All of a sudden I don't have that peace anymore. All of a sudden the stress and the circumstances of life have started to kind of rob from me this rest. So the question is, if he's the captain of peace and rest, does it mean that I can just do whatever I want and then just turn to him immediately and find this peace again? Because a lot of times when we're not experiencing peace, we've probably stepped out, we've done something, we've turned away, we've stepped out from under this place where his peace lies, we've done something that's brought turmoil or unrest or an unsettledness to us, and we want it to change, so we immediately want to step back under, and yet we may have even repented and asked for forgiveness, and yet peace has lifted. Does the Tsar Shalom give peace and remove it? Does he, when we're in a relationship with him, when we surrender to him, does he give us peace? Does the Prince of Peace come into our life and we're surrendered to him? Does he give us this peace and then pull it away? It's a good question. And I'm unfortunately going to leave you hanging a little bit. I'm not going to say yes or no. You know what? Honestly, I'm not sure that he... where that gives or takes, or we just step out from under it and the consequences of that. But bottom line, there is this sense of what happens when I'm giving my life to the Prince of Peace and yet there is no peace. So how do I, what is the peace? What does he do? What does it look like? Because if we're going to define it as Tsar Shalom, and we're going to say that to have his peace, I first and foremost have to be under his hand, what does his peace look like? Does it mean that he's going to remove every circumstance that's troubling? Does it mean that I'm not going to have to pay the consequences for my decisions? Let's define it. And first is this, is that Jesus, of course, is Tsar Shalom. He is the peace, number one. He's the peace who comforts me. He comforts me. It doesn't mean that he removes problems. It doesn't mean that he just goes in and, you know, waves a magic wand and poof, everything's fine. It doesn't mean that we've made poor financial decisions and so now we're under the unsettling feel. Maybe you bought the gifts and they were unwrapped and everyone's happy and you're thinking, okay, you know what, maybe we should take this one back and take this one back and maybe we really didn't need this one and I didn't realize that was all going to catch up so fast and so we've made decisions, and so now we're under the unsettling feeling that things aren't right. Is he just going to walk in and say, you know what, it's okay? Does it mean we can just charge up our credit cards and charge them up and charge them up and think somehow this is just going to disappear? He's just going to come in and ding, be gone. It doesn't mean that we can just treat and not, as the Bible says, if you want friends, you must show yourself friendly. Does it mean that we can act a certain way and just poof, really everything's going to be fine? We treat our spouse a certain way and then think that we're going to reap the great benefits of a great marriage and yet we haven't been great. But he does say that Tsar Shalom, he's going to comfort us in the midst of whatever circumstance, in the midst of whatever situation we're in, he will comfort us. Look what it says in John 14:27. This is Jesus and he says, peace I leave with you. Say this with me, my peace I give you. Jesus is saying that he's going to give us his peace. Peace I live with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Peace I give to you. Have you ever tried, how many of you are not mechanically inclined? How many of you are not good at all with like wiring, electricity or anything like that? Yeah, you and I are in the same boat. And so here I am one day, and some outlets have gone bad, and I'm thinking, you know what, I ought to change these. I think I can do this. And if you've ever, even though the breakers are off, you know there's no power to that outlet. You are like, can I touch this? Is this going to be all right? And so here I'm trying to figure this out. And finally, you know, I've got everything wired and I'm thinking, you know, this probably isn't wired right. And, you know, something's not working. Light's still not on. It's supposed to be like one of these fans over the dining table that's got the fan and the light and you can have, it's like a three-way dimmer and it's like nothing's working. You hit one switch, it's supposed to be the light and the fan's going. I totally messed this thing up. And I'm frantic. I'm like, you know, palms are sweaty. It's like, I'm thinking I'm going to get juiced here any moment. And so finally I call someone over that knows what they're doing. How many of you in here know what you're doing when it comes to electricity? It's not a problem. You know what you're doing. Okay, those of you that don't know what you're doing, if you had one of these people with you, would you have a little more peace? It's not your peace because you don't have a clue. It's their peace. So when you're with them in the midst of that situation, you can kind of take hold of their confidence, their knowledge, their understanding of wires. And you're okay. And even you could be the one doing the wire. They could say, don't worry, nothing's a problem. Just, you know, just put these two together. You can tie them together and put the knot, and you're okay. This is the same situation with Jesus. He's not saying you don't just get peace. You're not just going to create peace and have your own peace. He's saying, listen, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to give you my peace. So you're never going to have it all figured out. You're never in and of yourself going to have the confidence and the wherewithal to be able to work through every issue. And yet he's saying, don't worry. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to comfort you. My peace, he says, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Look what it says here in Philippians 4. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Easier said than done. But in everything, Here's the answer. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So he's saying this is a faith issue here. This is, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God that he's going to work on my behalf even when I don't see things changing. I'm going to trust him. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, in every circumstance, by prayer, by communication with God, through worship and thanksgiving, he says, we're going to present your request to God. And say this with me, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. His peace, his comfort, his peace he leaves with us. We're resting in his peace. It passes, it transcends. We can't figure it out. We don't understand how it's all going to work out, but we simply trust him. And we, by prayer, he says, and thanksgiving, God, I'm trusting you. I give this to you. A thank you that you're working on my behalf. I just surrender it to you. It's really an aspect of just coming in this relationship, coming back under his authority, under Sar Shalom, surrendering back under him. If we've missed it, if we've made mistakes, if we've got an unrepentant heart, and we make that turn and we come back and say, okay, God, I tried to do it on my own and it doesn't work. I want you. So we come back, we surrender, we're back under Sar Shalom, yet there's still consequences to our actions, unfortunately for us. There's still laws that have been operated, just like the law of gravity. You can jump off a roof and not believe in gravity, you're still going to fall. You can change your mind halfway down, you're still going to come down. There's still consequences. But I'm under Sar Shalom, he still comforts me. Even in the midst of falling, even in the midst of the fire, even in the midst of the circumstance, even in the midst of that contentious, broken, unresolved relationship, even in the midst when it seems, you know, the bills just aren't getting, they're not going to get paid, even in the midst of all of that, he still comforts us. Because we bring ourselves under him, it passes our understanding, we haven't figured it all out yet, and yet there's peace. Because he is the general of contentment and rest, even in the midst of storms. The second thing that he does, the second thing that Jesus is, he is the peace who saves me. He saves us. He delivers us. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have, say this with me, say it out loud, we have peace with God Through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Him. It's through Christ. When we make a decision that we're going to give our life to Christ, this isn't about any sort of unrealistic expectation. It doesn't mean that immediately everyone's going to be nice to you. It doesn't mean that immediately, you know, there's going to be this flowery, you know, bed of everything's going to be easy and simple now. I'd be lying if I told you that. It doesn't come in and immediately change circumstances. What He does is He changes me. He changes us in the midst of the circumstances. He changes our character. He changes our nature. He recreates us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that He comes in, that old things have passed away. All things have become new. And He's talking about this internal place, this internal person, the inner man, the inner woman, the inner person. He changes and He develops us and He causes us to grow. And even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of the circumstance, He gives us the ability to walk through it. That just like David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your rod and your staff, they what? They comfort me. And He saves me. He pulls me out of the fire. It says in Jude that He pulls us out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Whatever sin and flesh has caused us to be apart from Him, He comes in and He reaches and He pulls us back to Him. Peace with God, not because of our good works, not because of our good deeds, but simply because we're under Him now. Or we're in Him, as it said in Romans. Or peace comes through Him. If we're missing peace, going back to that question, you know, does God remove peace? We could see it as a strategy. You know, when either, of course, I think peace is gone when we step out from under, we do something, or we get our eyes off of Him and we start trying to work it ourselves, and we step out of that peace. We step out of that rest. I've been in some crazy situations on mission trips. Countries where it seems like there's no law. I was in Nigeria, and one of the times you get to the airport and immediately you're surrounded with people that are simply want to help you with your luggage. And they don't really, they want to steal it. And you're surrounded, and it's nighttime, and you've got all these men just coming around trying to help, and you're just trying to get to a taxi cab, and hopefully it's a safe one. And then you're driving down the road in a car going from main city to another city, and there's these armed military soldiers on the road with machine guns in hand, and they're not there to protect you. You have to bribe them to get through. An uncertainty and unsettledness. These are extreme situations that maybe many of us have never been in, but again, just life in general, there's a peace that passes all understanding when we bring ourselves under Him who saves me. Peace with God. Look at this other scripture here, and we'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For, say this with me, for Christ Himself is our peace. You know what? I have no other answer for you today. Because honestly, I don't think there is one. There is no other answer for peace. Not yoga, not narcotics, not relationships, not anything that's going to be able to bring a lasting, substantial comfort and peace even in the midst of life circumstances. So what do I do once I've found myself outside of His presence? What do I do when I should be comforted and I don't experience comfort? The quick thing, not even in your notes, is get back under. If you've never been under, if you've never surrendered yourself to the Sar Shalom, to the Prince of Peace, then that is the biggest challenge that we have for you today, is to allow the Prince of Peace to come in and to comfort you and to help you and to save you and to rescue you. You personally not just fix everything. God, if you fix this, God, I'll live for you. No, God, fix me. God, heal me. God, change me. First and foremost, change me. Bring peace here. Because if there's peace here, then no matter what's going on out around here, we're still stable. We're still immovable. We're still able to abound. We are still able to win.